So this morning, I have the pleasure of doing the announcements and the reading of the word. All the announcements in your bulletin, I'm not going to read them all, but I'm going to highlight a few. I trust everyone had a good Christmas, and you're believing in a great new year. So just as it says in the bulletin, Wonder Inc. and Refuge, our youth program on Wednesday night, there won't be any class this Wednesday, January 3rd. They both resume on January 10th. Also, tomorrow through the 21st is the annual church fast, where we focus on fasting and praying. It'll go from January 1st to the 21st, just as it says in your announcement. And then the next announcement is just as important. There's a break fast potluck. It'll be Sunday, January 21st at noon. So it's always good to end a fast with a feast, right? Or maybe not physically, but anyway. Also, the Men's No Regret Conference, that'll be streamed here at the church on February 3rd. Starts at 7, there's a breakfast at 7:30. The conference itself starts at 8, goes until 1. It's $15. The rest of the details are there in the bulletin. And then also the Women's White Horse Conference, February 7th through 9th, will be in Lafayette, Indiana, at White Horse. And then the last announcement that I have for this morning, I mentioned this last week. Mention it again this week. I'll mention it again next week, probably. But Ray and Lemyai Kizzy are going to Southeast Asia on a short-term missions trip. They're leaving on the 12th. They're coming back several months later. I'm actually going to go with, but I'm only going to stay for a week. I'm not going for several months. This morning, right after the service in the foyer in the back, they'll be selling egg rolls as a fundraiser for that mission trip. And then next week, they're going to come up and tell you a lot more about the trip. So I could try to explain it, but I would probably mess it up. And so it'd be better that you hear from them. So next Sunday, January 7th, Ray and Lemyai will have an opportunity to explain what the trip's about, what they're doing, what their ministry's all about. So come looking forward to that. All right. So without further ado, if you would all please stand for the reading of God's word. This morning we're going to read from Luke and a little bit from Isaiah and from John. So starting with Luke 1, 76 through 80. A new child will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins. Through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And so the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation to Israel. Then Isaiah 40, verse 3, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And then John 1, 19 through 28. Now this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then, are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? He answered, no. Then they said to him, who are you that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees, and they asked him, saying, why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing.
Mike, could you pray?
Yep, absolutely.
Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you again that we have a place that we can come to worship and to learn more about you. I thank you for this body of believers, for this community that we belong to. I thank you for Pastor Mike, he shepherds us. And I just ask you would help us all to be an easy flock to lead. I ask that you would be with Mike this morning. Pour your spirit into him. Fill him up with whatever you'd have for us. I ask for all of us that you would open our ears and our eyes and most importantly our hearts that we might receive more and more of you. We ask that you would continue to bless Mike and his family. Build him up so that they can pour out into us as they always do. We ask all these things. And since it's New Year's, I just ask that you would bless our church in the coming year through all the things that we know that you're going to lead us through. And I just ask that you would be with us as a congregation, as a body, as a group that are impacting our community here in Green Bay and around the world. I just ask that you continue to pour out your blessing on the leadership of this church and this congregation as a whole. And again, be with Mike this morning as he brings your word to us. And just help us all to hear more and more from you. We ask all this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mike. You may be seated. Okay. Good morning.
Good morning. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. My name is Mike LeClaire. I'm the pastor of Living Hope Church. I'm honored to be the pastor of this church. I work with Tim Mandich, who is the executive pastor of this church. Just wave, Tim.
Woo!
All right. He's been a joy. I think Amy is out delivering babies. I think she's not here, so I can't say much about her. I could say a lot about her now that she's not here. She's doing her good work. And then is Gerald out here? Gerald, woo, over there, is our youth director. It's an honor to work with him. Has lots of wisdom poured into him, and it comes out into the ears, into the hearts of our teens, but also our staff. He's an amazing guy. And then I have Pastor Donnie. Pastor Donnie, raise your hand. Yes! 28-year-old Pastor Donnie. What a joy he is to this church. Oh, wait, 84. That is our pastoral staff and our director staff, and then we have multiple deacons, which we will be hearing about as we move forward in the next few weeks. But we've added to the deacons. It's going to be a large group of men ready to serve, and I can't wait to talk about it. Lumi, where's your husband? Where is your husband? Where is he hiding? Oh, he's on duty. Lomiai, come up here a second. Come here, Lomiai. Come on up. There's no crying allowed. Just come on up. You can laugh, you can giggle, but there's no crying. Come on up.
I'm done crying. Would you really do something
like this? I would totally do something like this. Just look at him. Next week, we're going to be asking for all your money to send these guys on the mission trip. And before we do, I want you to see where you're giving your money. Lumiai and Ray is pretending to work somewhere, I think. No, Ray is working because he's a workhorse. But you're going to Southeast Asia.
We are going to Southeast Asia.
That's all. You don't get to give me any more. That's next week. What? This is my time. Hey, she did pretty good without you.
I know she always does.
This is Ray. You're giving all your money to him too. So,
God bless you.
God bless you too. I don't even know what to talk about. John the Baptist. Oh, before I get into John the Baptist, because there's a lot to say about him. We had quite a year last year, didn't we? That's quite a year. Lots of things happened. Lots of things happened spiritually. Lots of things happened in the world. And that's bouncing off a year, previous year, where lots of things have happened. But there is blessing in what took place over the last year. Amen. And the blessing is that God is about the business of getting our attention. And I believe he's getting our attention. What that means for some is, I'm out of here. He knows me too well. And for some, it means I want to go deeper in him. And what he's doing right now, I believe, is he is separating the middle ground. That's what God is doing. The lukewarm will be done away with, I believe. You're going to be either hot or you're going to be cold. And right now, he's sweeping away that middle ground. And it's a painful thing. for the believer to see. But I think there's an anesthetic to those who are in that lukewarm place that they don't even know it, they don't even feel it, because they were never deeply connected to God. Our job is to be what we're going to talk about today, is to be like John the Baptist, just telling. John the Baptist came just to tell. Your job is not to see that they get saved. It's to tell. It's God's job to see that they get saved. So that was just a free thing that just came to me in the moment. John the Baptist, an incredible story of an incredible man who God highly favored above most. The New Testament, not only here with the announcing of Zacharias, but shortly thereafter, the annunciation by the same angel to Mary. So the one that called the Baptist is the same one that called Mary, and he had a purpose and a work to do in each of their lives, right? Both, or at least one, was announced with glory from the heavenly host. The other came to the place where he was going to take the form of a servant like only Christ could do. And he was going to serve that Christ. And for this reason, he was highly favored, I believe, among the prophets. In Isaiah 40, verse 3, it says, this is the prophet Isaiah speaking, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Another prophet spoke of that era, and he spoke as well. And he said, "Behold, I send," in verse Malachi 3:1, he says, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." That's a prophecy not about Jesus, that's a prophecy about the messenger. That's a big deal when you get a prophecy about the messenger. In Malachi 4:5, same writer, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming and great and dreadful day of the Lord." That seems like a conflicting term to me, or a phrase. Before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. "And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse." The world is in a bad place, and God is speaking to the messenger, or speaking of the messenger, who will give us the truth of the Savior. That's what John the Baptist did. And yet he was favored. And God's going to use him to what? To stir up the hearts of people. And my goodness, he knows how to stir up the hearts. Amen. He knows how to stir up men. Right. And you'll see that he goes about that business very seriously. The great and dreadful. How can there be great and dreadful? It seems like an oxymoron. It seems like complete opposites. Great, if you take heed to the message. Great, if you receive the Savior. Great, if you have a relationship with him. Great, if your sins have been taken from you. Great, if you get to know him intimately. Dreadful, if you don't. The dreadful part of this statement is not taking heed to what the Baptist tells us, not taking heed to what the Word of God teaches us, not taking heed to when the Savior is actually here and he's speaking to the people of that day, not receiving it. It's dreadful, because there is a dreadful day at the end of the existence. Talk to the saints. Saints are pretty excited in a very chaotic and crazy world. Why are they excited? Because they know what's coming. What's coming? For the church, what's coming is eventually it's going to be a call to come home. For those who die in the Lord, they're on their way home already. They're there. For those of us who are still alive, we wait with hope, of the blessed hope, because we know what God's word says. What does his word tell us? That we will be with him. It says, to be apart from the body is to be with Christ. and we will be apart from the body when we die, and we will be with Christ. Hallelujah. That's a good thing. That's something to celebrate and be excited about. Oh, but it's dreadful for those that played games with God, who put them off when the Bible says that today is the day of salvation, and they ignored it for later because there's still stuff they got to do. Or, that's nonsense, I don't want to hear that stuff. And they push it off until their hearts become so hard they can't even hear it and receive His word, His promises, His gift to us, His salvation. What did John do? He came to bust it. He came to break it, to shatter it, to confront it. And it takes a person with some grit to be able to, a person that has the same grit that Bo had when he was singing. That kind of grit. You know what I'm talking about? I wish I could do that. But the grit also that says, I don't give up. I don't quit. I get in your face. I give you what you need to do. And I do it because I love Him. What are we called to do? Same thing. Just we have to lose a little bit of that. Get a little of that love grit, that persistence. The great and dreadful day of the Lord, when our Savior and friend, to those who know Him, come as King and Judge. That's right, your Savior is not just your King, He's your Judge. He's your Judge. And the words you never want to hear is, away from me, I never knew you. I never knew the Judge. I never knew the King. I never knew the highest of high priests. I never knew Him. And He says, away with you to the place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. No, no, you don't get to go with the sheep. Get over there with the goats. And that ends up in utter darkness. You get a prophecy from Zechariah. So I told you about Isaiah. I told you about Malachi, two scriptures from that. But there's also Zechariah's prophecy. Zechariah was the Baptist's father, John the Baptist. His dad was Zechariah. And he gives this, and Michael read it before. But he says, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare His ways, to give knowledge of salvation to His people. That's what you and I are called to do. The same thing He was called to do. To give knowledge of salvation to His people by the remission of their sins. How is there a remission of sins? Not because of their good works, but because of the one that He is going to tell us about. He's the one He is speaking about. Who is? The Baptist. John the Baptist is going to come and speak about this. What's his dad doing? He's saying, this son of mine is the one who goes to tell. What does Jesus say? By His Spirit, you and I are called to go and tell. It's a pretty powerful prophetic word. I'm taking a liberty with some of that further explanation of it. Through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us. For what purpose? To give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. To give light who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. Those who are not in Christ, this is where they sit. This is where they exist, in utter darkness, with no hope except for their own wits and their own abilities, which leads to nothing. I hate to hurt anybody's feelings here, but that's the reality. If you think you're good enough to go it alone, like so many nations of people have done, you're deceiving only yourself. No man is good enough to go it alone, or woman, or child. We cannot do it alone. We can only do it through Christ who could do it. That's right. It's a really simple thing, actually. None of us are good enough. The Bible says that there is no one righteous. No one. Not one. Except Christ. There is none righteous but Christ. We cannot go it alone. Because when you get up there and you say, at the judge. Who's the judge? Jesus. He knows you. He knows or he doesn't know you. If he doesn't know you, you got to spin a really good story and say, hey, I deserve to be here because this is what I did. I helped that little old lady across the street. I helped her. Well, that's wonderful. And I saved the dolphins from the tuna nets. because I gave my $5, and the puppy dogs that I look at with their eyes like this and they're shivering, I gave to that cause. Well, good for you. Bully for you for giving to that cause. That does not get you entrance into the kingdom of heaven. I know I just offended every dog lover in the place. Cat lovers are happy as can be, but they're not going to heaven either. The only cat that'll be in heaven is the lion who lays with the lamb. But it's not really a cat, it's a lion of the tribe of Judah, that's Jesus. Who's the, you know, I'm going to get off on a tangent. To give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide your feet in the way of peace. So the child, John, grew and became strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation to Israel. In other words, this guy was born to eat crickets and grasshoppers and for dessert, honey covered. That's what he ate. Wild honey and locusts is really what he ate. That's what he lived on. This is one tough dude. He didn't have the luxuries of the day, and if he had them, he wouldn't want them. He was a single purposed man who was filled with the Holy Spirit from the time that he was in his mother's womb. I can get on that rant right now, too. How can you be filled with the Holy Spirit and be in your mother's womb and then say to extinguish life at that point is possible? You can't. So here's a life message. That which is in the womb is God's child. All right? That's God's child. And that which is in the womb is to go to term unless God stops it. That's his business. Because he's all-knowing. He's all-present. He's all-wise. There's the other one. All-powerful. He knows. But the John the Baptist is filled with the Holy Spirit inside of his mother's womb is amazing. And to the church, we should know this. The value of life. Okay. Enough of that. Malachi's promise that before the Messiah would come, would send Elijah. God would bring Elijah back, who was caught up into heaven and did not die. If you remember the story, that's exactly, he's carried up in a, what's that called? Whirlwind. Thank you. So the first question the authorities would ask John was, are you Elijah who was to come? And what did he say? No, I am not. Yet when they asked Jesus who John was, Jesus said he was Elijah who was to come. So how do we reconcile the fact that John the Baptist says he's not Elijah to come, and Jesus said he is Elijah to come? Before I go any further, Sally, can you remind me that I was talking about Elijah to come? Okay. Now I forgot what the other thing was. Try to cover every base and I can miss it. He was Elijah to come. John the Baptist. John was Elijah to come by the Spirit of God. Not that he was the same identical person. He came by the Spirit. He had the Spirit of, not the body of, Elijah. What about Elijah? What was his spirit like? Elijah was another prophet who was amazing. He was amazing. He fought the 700 Baal prophets, and he wiped them out. He wiped them out. And John is coming in that spirit. Was he perfect? No. As soon as Jezebel, who is filled with an evil spirit, spoke to him, he ran off in utter fear and wanted to die. John never came to that place of wanting to die. He wanted to see this thing through to the end. He had his moments of doubt, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. Matthew 11:14 says, no, but you are in the spirit and the power of Elijah, and you are the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy. Luke 1:15 says, oh, this is the life message. I already threw that at you. I'm going to go to the third point here, and the third point is that John the Baptist pointed to the truth of Jesus. First point was that John the Baptist was a type of Elijah, but so much more. And then we talk about Zechariah's prophecy. It speaks of the of what the father sees in his son and doesn't even probably know the fullness of what that meant. But now we're going to talk about what the purpose was when he came. And I've already alluded to a lot of that, but in Matthew 3:1, it says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet, saying, and you're going to hear it again and again and again, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. How do you prepare the way of the Lord in your life? And how do you make it straight? You come to Christ. You come to Jesus. And then how do you, as young prophets, let's call you minor prophets. No, that doesn't work because there's books called minor prophets. Let's call you people who operate in the prophetic. What are you called to do? You're called to do what the prophets did, which is to go and tell. We've said it for the last several weeks. We even said it at a Christmas service. It's such a big deal. Go and tell. Tell people. Don't worry about the outcomes. That's God's business. You tell them. And I want you to think of who in your family who have you not told because of the fear that comes against you. The fear that comes against you is a spirit. It's not a light thing. It's a serious thing. I taught, Sally, remember the spirit. That's two things. I taught 30 years in the public schools. And I could deal with some of the, and it was, I dealt with kids with anger problems, behavior problems, and the like. And I could deal with some of the toughest kids who actually, they're kind of frightening sometimes when they lose control and they blow up in anger. And I never had a problem with those tough kids. I could go eye to eye, toe to toe. Well, I couldn't go eye to eye. Toe to toe I could do, except I had a belly back then and I couldn't get my, so. But I could go against them and not worry about it so much. It didn't bother me. And yeah, there would be some physical things that happened that weren't supposed to, but they just do sometimes. Sheena, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But then I would have this little 4 foot, 80 pound girl or a really small in stature young teenage guy. And I had just such a difficult time sometimes dealing with them. I was like, why am I feeling all these resistance, all this stuff? I don't want to be around it. It's horrible. And, oh, she's there or he's there and I want to get away. And I couldn't figure out how can this little 80-pound thing cause me this much of a stir? It caused me this much of a stir because it wasn't the person. It was the spirit behind the person. You ever come across people that you just can't seem to make a breakthrough? There's a spirit at work that goes against the work that God wants to do. It's not the person in the flesh. So the big, angry guy that's throwing chairs and desks and could throw me as much as he wants, there was no spirit there. It was this guy had an anger problem, an anger issue. So it was flesh to flesh, and I could deal with that. But when that little tornado came in, it was 80 pounds. Man, why is this so much? Oh, I hate it. I'm going to send them to the office and let them deal with it. That's how I felt. Because I didn't know at that time of the spirit behind it. How does the prophet Elijah slay 7,000 and can't deal with one Jezebel? Because there is a spirit at work. And it's the spirit that we wrestle with. But we don't have eyes to see. We don't have the ability to understand what's going on, and it overwhelms us. It overwhelmed Elijah to the point of death. To the point of death, he wanted to die because of this woman. No, because of the spirit in the woman. And I learned that lesson, like I said, teaching in a high school and teaching in a middle school. And the middle school was just as bad. When the spirit was present, and it's, I'm talking evil stuff. I had no clue as to what it was. I just knew that I did not like going against. There was a force that I did not like to deal with. What happens now? Now I go into the spirit. I know how to fight the battle a little bit better now than I did then. See, I start praying in tongues and I start calling on the heavenly host to come down and the Holy Spirit to so fill me that I can stand toe-to-toe with it. And like I shared with you a few weeks ago, Tim, you remember this. We did this in my office. We had a team of guys, pastors, in my office praying some demon out of some person. Why was it a big deal? Because it was spiritual. Why can't you go to certain family members? Because it's spiritual. What are you afraid of? You're afraid of something spiritual. You can't see it and you can't know it, but it is there. And so what John the Baptist would say, go in there in the power of the Most High and do what you're called to do, which means you look at the Pharisee in the eye and you say, repent, repent, repent. They want to kill you. Repent. For the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Change. Can you tell your little siblings? Can you tell your grand siblings? Can you tell their parents? I don't know. But there's a spirit at work, and we have to get past that spirit that's at work. Because to be really honest with you, most in this room will not tell because you're afraid. What are you afraid of? Ridicule? Rejection? Letdown? You're not supposed to be afraid of any of that. Just tell, and you've done your job. You don't have to lead them to the cross. The Spirit of God will lead them to the cross. And the Spirit of God may use somebody else to play another role in it. But this is what John the Baptist came for. He was amazing. And he came for this purpose, to bust through the spiritual warfare of the day, to speak to the Pharisees, who, by the way, Herod ends up killing the guy, beheading him. So he was up against those odds, and so was every other apostle. How could they do it? Well, they didn't do very well until Pentecost. Why could they do it at Pentecost? Because then they had the power of the Holy Spirit in them. For you shall receive power when that the Holy Spirit comes upon you. For what purposes? For all purposes that deal with spiritual things. Primarily is that the lost would be saved. But also that the lost would be delivered. That the lost would be healed. That the lost would somehow see the work that you're doing and in you they would see Christ in you and it would have an impact. What do you have to do after you do that? Whatever God tells you. But as far as what he's called you to do, you've already done it when you tell. Go and tell. Go and tell. Show and tell. Thank you, Jesus. Mark 1:1 says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. What's he going to tell them? The same thing that Matthew told us. Now Mark is going to tell us, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his path. That's what we're called to do. Prepare the way of the Lord for those we know who are lost. How do you prepare the way of the Lord? Spend time with him. Talk to them. Say what he's called you to say. Don't worry about the results. Get them into your life group. Get them over into CR. They're going to hear about the gospel in CR. They're going to hear the gospel in life group. They're going to study his word. They're going to learn the living word. The living word has a name, and his name is Jesus. They will learn of him in life group. And they will have a relationship with him. John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. That is the only way that we're going to get to heaven is when we come to the place where we confess our sin to the one who can cover the sin. And there's only one. And his name is Jesus Christ. Jesus the Christ, who can take our sin. Why could he take our sin? Because he himself, the judge, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, was sinless and came from the spirit world, heaven, fully God, fully man, fully spirit, and he enters this world. And we know the story, we celebrated it last week. And we lean on him. He came to be the sacrifice. Why? Because only he could be a sacrifice without spot or wrinkle. He came to be the perfect sacrifice. Only he could be the perfect sacrifice. There is no sacrifice apart from Christ. There's nobody that's good enough to be the sacrifice. Only him. And he did it for us because he loves us. He said, Matthew 3:7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees, those were the people that would frighten most people because of their power, their authority, and the spirit that had them bound. Coming to his baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers. You want to have a nice conversation with somebody? You begin by saying, you're a viper. You're a snake. And you and your friends are a brood of snakes. You're a brood of vipers. You guys want to go out for lunch? No. But he said that, right? Brood of vipers. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not think or say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. In other words, they thought because they knew Abraham, they thought because they had the law, and they thought because they followed it pretty close, yet they're killing lamb after lamb after lamb to cover it, have the blood cover their sins temporarily. They're nowhere near good enough, no matter how good they were with the law. They couldn't do it. But Christ, who the Bible says is the spotless lamb. He's the lamb without spot or wrinkle. He is worthy for what? Yeah, to open a seal, we know about that from Revelation, right? But he is worthy to carry our sin and pay for them the way he did. Why? Because when he does it, it matters. He was innocent. And he was a sacrifice that was not temporary, but it was permanent. For who? For all who would believe. Who are they? Those who heard the word and those who took the word to heart and claimed Jesus as their Savior. That's it. So you hear about other religions. I understand there's some good practices in a lot of different religions, but if it does not lift up Christ as King, if it does not lift up Christ as the only way to the Father, it is a cult. Now, you can do definitions on cult and tell me whether I'm right or wrong. You understand what I'm saying. It is not of God, and it benefits you in no way beyond the grave. But Christ and him alone. We should all be walking around, Jesus, and just getting excited about what he's done for us. Remember I said God's washing away lukewarm? Lukewarm is being kind of swept away. And what's left? I'm going to give you my opinion here, so you can scrap this if you want. Sweeping away lukewarm. Oh, that you were either hot or cold. You see, when you're hot, you have a fire and a flame for the things of God. He got in you, and you know it, and you let him in. When you're cold, you might be susceptible to hear the truth that's proclaimed to you. When the prophet speaks, or when you speak to your family member and say, you need to have Jesus. That's the only thing I care about for you, is that if you have Jesus, you're going to be okay. And that day might be the day of salvation for that person. But when you're lukewarm, you got it all figured out. I'm good. And what you don't know is, yeah, you're good compared to the knucklehead next to you, but you're no good in the kingdom. You can't get by on that kind of good. We measure ourselves against others and say, well, I'm better than that guy. Well, all that means is you have a different seat in the same hot place. I'm telling you, it's a big deal. Lukewarm does not work. So if you play games with church, you're sitting in a lukewarm state. It's time to step forward and make a real decision for who Christ is. Do we have a worship team coming up today? You guys can come on up. I got 8 pages to go on. Do not be lukewarm. My challenge to everybody in this room is that today you make a decision to follow Christ, that you allow him to be your Savior. Right now, the world fights over religions. It's crazy. What's going on in Gaza? What's going on in the West Bank? What's going on in Israel? That's not just going to be there. That's going to be a worldwide phenomenon. The focus will be there. But it's going to be that way in other parts of the world as well. And the challenge is going to say, what do you say when confronted concerning Christ? Do you say, I know him, and he knows me? He's covered my sin. He's washed away my sin. Eternally, I will be with him. I read the book. And there will be joy that I can't even articulate. Incredible joy. Joy beyond measure. Then some will say, I've been horrible. I've made mistake after mistake after mistake. Will he take me? Yes, he will take you. And how will he view you who made mistake after mistake? He'll view you just like anybody else who said, I'll take Jesus. Come. Come with me. In fact, I went and prepared a place for you. What's the place he prepared? He says, it's a mansion. It's a home. Where? It's in heaven. Why? Because that's what the bridegroom did in the Jewish world. Goes to prepare a place. The husband in that year of engagement to their wife goes to build a place, build a home. Well, that's what God is doing for us today. He's building a home for you and me. Why? Because we are the bride of Christ. So how does he view you and your wicked sin that you've done in the past? Once you've come to him, he says, it's gone. I take your sin and I remove it from you as far as the east is from the west, and I remember it against you no more. Come, enter your reward. What's your reward? He's your reward. What's his? You. What do you have to do? Believe. What did John the Baptist say we had to do? We have to repent. What does that mean? That means I got a boatload of sin that I got to get taken care of. Probably take me a week or two to even tell you about it. He says, no. I know your sin. You're giving it to me. I'll take it. I'll deal with the sin. In fact, he already has. When we get to the time of Good Friday, we'll see how he takes care of the sin. Pays for it himself. Our God is awesome. He is incredibly awesome. And he will take care of the business of the old sin. And then he sends us his Holy Spirit so that we can take care of the business of moving forward. Can't do it on my own. If I'm still in my body of flesh, I'm still struggling with sin at some levels. But his Holy Spirit comes into us and he begins to gently urge us and steer us and guide us in what? In what's best for us. The things that don't hurt us. What hurts us? Sin hurts us. Sin kills. Sin destroys. Sin robs us. He will take care of that. And we just grow in this relationship with him. If you don't know him, ask him to reveal himself to you. Ask him, Jesus, I don't know you, and it seems like pie in the sky to me, like I get off scot-free. Well, he's going to do something to you once you receive him. And he's going to go right to work on your heart. And he's going to finish the message of John the Baptist, who says, repent, repent, repent. And God will get you to a place of repenting, but he's going to get to a place where he changes your heart. He's going to change your heart so that repenting becomes the formality. Because the reality is you don't want to be that way anymore when he's in you. We want to be with him. We want to be connected to him. We want him. Why would we want him then and not now? Because now we see him. Now we have eyes to see and ears to hear, a heart to respond. Prior to coming to him, we didn't have those things. All we had was what the world offered. And sometimes it was good and sometimes it was horrible. But it was never really good. It was just fun. It was good relative to the horrible things. That's not good. But the Bible says it is he that is good. We're going to do something different. And this is a renewal. Who's singing? Which one are you doing?
Come out of that grave.
Oh, okay. That's beautiful and a little harsh, I think, coming out of a grave, but it's beautiful. I'm going to ask the congregation to come to the front. And this is a renewal. This is a renewal to be right before him and just say, I'm giving myself to you. I am giving all of me to all of you. And it's a challenge. If you've never done anything like this before, I know it's hard. It's okay. But we're going to give to him because he gave to us. What he wants from us is our heart. He wants us. He wants to save us. What I want from him is the salvation that he offers. You come on up. If you're unable to move or you can't get up here, I understand that. We're going to do this song. Team, be ready to pray. Okay. Gerald, you're up here. Steph, you're up here. Do you have the rest of the team ready? We do. Okay. And if you want specific prayer, go over by Gerald. Go over by Peter and Teresa after you take care of your stuff. Okay. You guys? Natasha and John? Okay. All right. Sally and I will be down here. But this is a big deal. This is taking a step, saying, I'm ready to go to that place where you've called me to go, where I just totally surrender to you, Jesus. And then the prayer is, I want to be able to give to others what you have given to me. I want to be able to give them you. I want to have enough courage to tell, is what I'm saying. Ask for that, courage to tell. And we come against a spirit that comes against you in Jesus' name.